have, if you'll just remain standing for a minute, I have a special request. Rosalind Burrell's father passed away this week, and we need to pray for that family. I don't have positive announcements or information about funeral preparation or whatever, other than to say they think it will be in Milwaukee. But let's pray for that family, that God would comfort. And we have already been praying for him. Let's pray that God would comfort the family and strengthen them in their loss. God, in your name, we pray, oh God, that you would touch this family tonight in the loss of their patriarch. We pray, oh God, that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them, that you would bless them. We pray that you would guide them in your paths, lead them in your will, keep them in your care in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Just remain standing a moment more. How many of you were here Sunday night? You think that was pretty good service? I think we need to give God some praise for that. I think we need to just push everything out of our mind and lift him up before the Lord. Give him praise. Come on, let's worship him together. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. Now, if you'll remain standing just a moment longer, I would like for you to go with me to the 96th Psalm. Use that for a launching pad. Not necessarily going to go verse by verse and teach from it, but I do want to teach, and I want you to pray for me, because if Jesus doesn't help me, I don't know what it'll be. Amen. But he always does, because we're trusting in him. Amen. Anybody here trusting in him? Praise God. I feel his presence here. And I think it would be very good if we would all just entertain that presence. Will you? Will you let God speak to you tonight? I feel, and my wife and I are working on our 7th year here, so we aren't just new arrivals, but I really feel that God is kind of adjusting the forward progress of Calvary. And we need to honor our leadership. Brother Roy Grant is doing an outstanding job in preaching and teaching the gospel, and all the other staff members. But we need to be open to change when it comes. Amen. It's so easy to say, well, I'm not used to this, or I've never seen that before. Let's open our minds and let God direct us. The thing about God is that he always has a fresh, new way of doing things. Doesn't mean that he does anything wrong. He does it right. Many times everybody said he means me. We get it wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. If there's any perfect people in the house tonight, you can go home. But right now, we need God's help. So let's ask God to help us. God, in your name, come into this place this evening. Touch us and strengthen us and lift us and lead us and guide us. Guide our thinking, God, and let the message go from the head to the heart. Move upon us, God, in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great. Everybody believe that? The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, and the Lord made the heavens. How honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. That's where we are tonight. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory, glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Who is your king? Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Everybody said amen to that. Thank you, and you may be seated. I have been preaching somewhere around 45 years. And I'm always intimidated a little bit by talking about the subject I have chosen tonight. I am continuing the pastor's burden, talking about God's glory. I want to talk on the subject, the cycle of God's glory. The cycle of God's glory. You see, the word glory is a vague yet a remarkable word. It has a general meaning in regard to worldly things, where it means distinguished honor or praise, exalted reputation. Our pastor, Brother Roy Grant, expanded on that a little bit Sunday night, and I am going to expand on it a little more tonight, because there's more here than we can cover in just a few services. That distinguished honor or praise or exalted reputation is kind of defined, if you think with me, in the statement that you hear sometimes, these are the glory days. Or, if you refer to the past history, the glory of the Roman Empire. Or when we speak of someone saying he is in his glory, distinguished honor and praise, or praise. However, I'm not speaking to you tonight from the world standpoint. I'm speaking about God's glory. But even when I speak to you of that glory, I have to tell you that the term God's glory has an even broader meaning that's even harder to define. Because biblically, glory is giving God the praise with the rightful recognition that is due him. And I don't know about you, but I don't think any of us can really get our minds around the rightful recognition that's due him. It's beyond description. Then there's a little more of that definition, that is the glow of the Spirit of God resting upon one of his children. And glory also refers to God's excellence and majesty, as in Matthew 25:31, which says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And then, finally, it also refers to heaven itself. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, God was manifest in the flesh. Most of you can see this along with me. It's one of our great scriptures. Let's say it together if you can. You can read it over my shoulder. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. However, in John 5 and 44, for just a little different view on it, when Jesus healed the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, and the Jewish authorities confronted Jesus about what he did for that man, Jesus told them, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Let me pause there and tell you that that tells us where glory should come from. Glory should come from God alone. When he says honor here, he means glory. Let me read it again. "How can you believe, Pharisees, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" I have been, since the first of the year, seeking God's glory. And I think we all should involve ourselves in that. I want to tell you something. Just let me talk to you a little bit tonight, because I feel this deeply. We need to recognize those of us that are talented and capable, those of us who are journeymen and craftsmen and highly educated. Hey, all that you are or ever hope to be, you should give God glory for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because without him, we'd be big fat zeros. We wouldn't be worth, as someone has said, we wouldn't be worth killing. Come on. Let's open our minds a little bit. I don't want to destroy your ego at all, if you have, unless it's too big. But I do want to say to us, we need to give him praise for his glory that works in our lives. We could be 1,000 different places, some lost in some isolated third world country somewhere without benefit of all the things that America gives us. But thank God we were born in this country. Thank God we got an education here. We learned to trade here. Thank God. God gets the glory for it, all right? We need to take a little time tonight and give him the glory. We need to thank God for our jobs, for our houses to live in, for the cars that we drive, for the blessings that God gives to us. Amen. We need to entertain his glory. We need to move up a little bit and say, "God, I am nothing without you. I need you every moment of every hour of every day. Hallelujah. I am giving you glory. Let's give him some glory tonight. I'm giving you glory tonight, God, for the things you have done for me. I am giving you glory for my family, for my friends, for my neighbors, for my church, for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm just giving you glory for this." Amen. Let's worship him together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory should come from God alone. God is so rich in glory. He can bestow extravagant glory upon his servants. And he can do so without depleting his glory any at all. You see, the things that we enjoy have come from him. And he hadn't lost anything yet. Because he loves you and me so much, he just abundantly pours out his glory upon us. Again, let me say it. You are who you are because God has poured you full of his glory. Amen. Your character level is there because God has shown you the right and the wrong and the good and the evil and helped you to walk in the right paths. Amen. Give Him glory some more. Thank Him for that. God wants to pour His glory out upon us. He wants to fill us overflowing with His glory and His might and His power. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's what I mean when I say the cycle of God's glory. He receives our glory. But usually if we look around a little bit, we recognize that our glory originates with Him. He starts the cycle and we send it back and He overloads our blessings and we send Him some more glory. That's the cycle I'm talking about. And that's the privilege of being a child of God. I do not want to be a child of this world. I don't like what's going on in that world out there. I want to be a child of His. I'm kind of enjoying His glory in this place tonight. All right? I'm moving in His glory. Hallelujah. Let Him touch you with His glory. Let Him pour His glory out upon you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We open our eyes. We can see Him all around us. I didn't get the first amen on that. But I'm going to say it again. When we open our eyes, we can see His glory all around us. Let me give you an illustration. My wife and I, our family, was in a small town church years ago, many years ago by now. We had a pastor's wife who had a saying that as a relatively new convert, I had kind of a tough time with at that point in my life. She had a saying, her saying was, "That's just God. That's just God." Now, when everything was good, and the blessings were falling, I had no problem with it. But she said it even when things were bad. It just almost became a byword with her. Whatever happened, that's just God. That's just God. I had a little problem with that. But then time passed, as it always does, and I began to see that she was right on. Because we must be aware of God's presence working in our lives and accept what comes our way and keep walking. Let me give you the illustration. She used to take their car and made a circle through town and pick up Sunday school children, take them to church every Sunday morning. She was making her rounds, and one Sunday morning, she had her car loaded down, headed for the church. She noticed something was wrong with the steering. She pulled over to one side of the road, street, and sure enough, she had a flat tire. That's just God. Really? She's late for church. How could that be? Well, no cell phones in those days, so she walks up to the nearest house, knocks on the door. Teenage boy comes to the door. "I need to borrow your phone, if you wouldn't mind. I need to call somebody to come and help me." And he said, "Oh, I can. What do you got?" She said, "A flat tire." He said, "Oh, I can fix that." She said, "Oh, you can?" He said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to. I'll do that all the time." She said, "Good, come on out." So he changed her tire. While he was changing her tire, he noticed a carload of children. He said, "Where are the kids going?" "Oh, I'll pick them up every Sunday and take them to Sunday school." She said, "Oh, okay." And he finished up. He turned around and he said, "So you're going to church?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I come?" And she said, "Yeah." So she brought him to church and he started coming every Sunday. Got under conviction. Got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Felt his call to Christian ministry. For the last many, many years, been pastoring a church over in Mississippi. Now you tell me whether that was God or not, huh? Just give God glory. God knows what He's doing. Just give Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Whatever you go to, listen, I still have a little trouble with some things that happen in life, okay? We have just as many crises as everybody else, or have had down through the years. And it's sometimes a little hard to say that's just God, especially if you're a little at fault, you know? But if you can say that, you can keep walking by faith. You can keep believing Him. He can keep blessing you and leading you and directing you. Let's give Him some glory again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. That's why I think of it as a cycle. It's just like love. You can preach a dozen, thousand messages on love. But let me tell you, love originated with God. For God so loved the world. Amen. And when He pours out His love on us, then we can love Him. And we can love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Because He first loved us. It's just like faith. Where'd your faith come from? It's a cycle. God does some things for you, builds your faith in Him, and then your faith catches His attention, and you lift your hands and worship Him and pray and talk to Him. Everything starts out from God, and He doesn't go in circle, but He has a cycle. And I want to tell you something. If you feel just a little bit cool tonight, things are not going well for you. Let me tell you. Let me call you to an altar of repentance. Turn to Him in His cycle. He is waiting for you just to give Him an opportunity to work in your life again. Let's lift our hands right here and ask God to help us. God, would You help us? Help us to see You, Lord. Help us to see Your glory. Help us to praise You and worship You and magnify You. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Our problem is, there's no way we can, I think maybe I've mentioned this, but I want to emphasize it. There's no way we can wrap our minds around God's glory. I was reading through the middle chapters of Isaiah a week or two back, and from chapter 40 all the way to 49. And I was reading what it said about the one God. It's all in there. And it is so mind-boggling that I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine a God that created all the earth and all the heavens and all the space out there and still chooses to pay personal attention to you and you and you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hard to get your mind around that, isn't it? Hard to quite grasp that. But that's the way God is. How in the world can we ever begin to adequately describe the glory of the infinite God? In essence, that's what God told Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 18. They had a meeting up on the mountaintop. God said, you find the right kind of tablets of stone and I'll put the Ten Commandments on them again. But it was there that Moses asked God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Now God told Moses in the 19th verse, well, I'll make all my goodness pass before you and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In other words, he's telling Moses, just let me remind you of all I've done for you in the past. I've kind of already been touching on a little of that as we've gone along here, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. What he's telling Moses is, Moses, you actually can't handle seeing my glory. God said, thou canst not see my face, verse 20, for there shall no man see me and live. You know, I've meditated on that again this week, and I really believe that God was reminding Moses of God's workings in history up to that time. I believe he was speaking to him all the way back to the beginning, maybe Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and reminding him of how he led that family in a time of drought and famine all the way down to Egypt. And then Moses remembered the greatest miracle of the Old Testament, the Red Sea deliverance. He told him of them walking between walls of water on dry ground, and reminding of the miracle food, the manna that God provided him for them for 40 years. And he spoke of destroying Pharaoh's mighty army as the waters came together. And Moses saw some degree of God's glory as he came down that mountain. In fact, we're told that when he came off that mountain, his face shone brightly with God's glory. Was reflecting the glory of God. It was so bright that his fellow men were afraid to even come around him without him wearing a shield of some sort. That reminds me of something else I saw just recently. When God's people were still in Egyptian slavery, Moses met with Pharaoh. I spend a lot of time there. I'm not. I'm just going to go through this quickly and let you know where I'm coming from. Moses pled with Pharaoh to let God's people go. You remember that? Let God's people go. But I can't even remember the rest of that verse. Of course, I've been studying it, so I do remember that. But we remember him meeting with Pharaoh. We remember him going before him time after time. Let my people go. Let God's people go. But I wonder if we've ever noticed the reason God gave for letting them go. Exodus 8 and 1. Let my people go that they may serve me. Okay, now you remember. In their lengthy debate, covering several chapters in Exodus, that service of God's people was further described and explained by Moses. I'd like for you to think about it with me. Exodus 10 and verse 9, he's telling Pharaoh, we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Last phrase of that verse. Then in verse 25, and Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. In other words, Pharaoh said, just get the men and boys all together and get out of here for a while and then come back. But leave your herds and flocks and wives and all of that, babies and whatever. But I don't even want you to think much about that. I just want you to look at that. The request that clarified serving God and telling them why they wanted to leave included the purpose for leaving. What did serving the Lord consist of? They were planning to hold a feast unto the Lord. And they were planning to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. In other words, we're going to leave Egypt, go out here in the wilderness somewhere to give God glory. It's really what we're going to do. Really what our plans are. God miraculously delivered Israel from Egypt so he could reveal to them his glory. So they could get a clearer picture of it. And he was also establishing his name for all the world to see. Now this was God's people giving God glory for delivering them from Egypt, from slavery, from bondage, for the sole purpose of feasting and offering sacrifices, or we can clearly say worshiping him. They were going out there to worship God. Amen. Now the point God was making to Israel was this. He willingly displayed his glory in delivering them from Egyptian bondage, because he desired pure worship from those who worship him. I need to tell you that that is getting increasingly difficult in the world we live in because we are so distracted by all the activities that surround us. Can I hear amen to that? We are disturbed. We have family problems. We have job situations. We have extra burdens and cares and worries and all of that that intervene with our open worship of God. I feel like challenging you, every one of you, young person to the elderly, to find a place where you can get away from the pressures of life and really worship Him. Sometimes our walk gets a little long, difficult, a bit hard, because of all the pressures. Anybody here under pressure? Anybody here stressed out? Anybody here need a little isolation? Amen. Let me challenge you, folks. We don't need to be careless with our walk with God. Church has been called on a month of prayer and fasting, and we need to be participating the best we can. I know some people have health problems and can't just give it all they got, but I want to challenge you, young and old, to make sure you find a private place to talk to God and worship God and commit yourself to God and keep believing in God and being faithful to God and listening for God to speak to you. Problems about hearing from God is we seldom take time to listen. I'm as guilty as anybody. You know, we have this and we have that. We got to go here. We got to do this. You know, it's just a constant bleeding of our time. And the first thing you know, it's too late. And we say, oh, now I lay me down to sleep. And then we go to sleep. And everybody said, oh, me. No, I'm not going to check on you. I'm just challenging you. Let's find a private place and a little time and set it aside and seek the Lord. Amen. If the slaves in Egypt needed deliverance, there are some of us that need deliverance from our slavery. Amen? Amen, amen. Let's lift our hands and give Him glory again. Let's give God some glory. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord. 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 You see, there's something about being in the presence of God and seeing just a little view of His glory that causes you to want to worship Him. That's what we were enjoying Sunday night. You came out of those pews and came forward because you wanted to worship Him. And you wanted to worship Him because you saw a little bit of His glory. Amen. Amen. Some people say, oh, there's something different about this church. You better believe there's something different about this church. It is because the presence of God meets us here. And we enjoy that presence. In fact, we are enjoying that presence right here and right now. And we need to give Him glory because His presence is here. We need to magnify His name because His presence is here. We need to enjoy the power of the presence of God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. John 4:24 tells us, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Why? Let's go back one verse, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? Because the Father seeketh. He is actively looking for those to worship Him. Amen. Amen. In the Bible, it took a long time for Israel to understand this. Had all kind of laws and and limitations and restrictions and all of that. But I'd hate to know that I was a member of this last day church and not being able to grasp that God's looking for worshipers. Can you imagine God's eyes roving through the congregation to see who is truly worshiping Him? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a worshiper. Amen. Because worshipers count. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how is the path of worship? It's a cycle. You come to the place of privacy with God, and you begin to look at His glory. You begin to glorify Him. And when you begin to see Him, and when He comes down and touches you, and He answers you, speaks to you, you worship Him. Cycle of God's glory. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, let me make a point here before I go on. God's desire was not limited to knowing Israel is the only people who worshiped Him. It's kind of the way it turned out most of the time, but this is the point God wanted to make. God's point was to ensure that Jehovah was the only God they worshiped. And you say, well, that's the only God we worship. Well, I beg to differ with us with that term. I think there are gods that are not listed as gods that sometimes occupy a lot of our time and thinking. I'm not here to preach against things. I'm just here to say that God is talking to us tonight. If there's anything in your life that's distracting you from living for God, obeying God, giving Him glory, and worshiping Him, that could be considered a god in the place of Jesus. So as far as I'm going with that, let me finish up. I want to take you to Revelation for something I just saw recently. And let me say right here that I do not understand all the types and shadows given us in the book of Revelation. And to be honest with you, I don't know of anybody that really does. I've known a few people who thought they did, but time proved them to be a little bit wrong. But I don't really understand it. But I do want to call to point your attention to Revelation 13 and 14, not 13 and 14th verse, but chapters 13 and 14, because this area describes the last final earthly battle. I wonder if you've ever stopped to consider what the conflict was about. Well, we really read the newspapers and decide that, some countries involved in nationalism and they want to conquer another country, they want to invade another country, they want to do this, that, or the other. But I want to tell you, that battle, this last final battle, is not about nationalism. It's not about one country or two countries or more joining in some kind of coalition against another country or another area and coming in and trying to conquer it. Let me describe it a little more. It's not over gold or silver. It's not going to be about oil or gas. It's not going to be about power or authority. It's not going to be about money or wealth. It's not going to be about anything that seems to motivate our world today. Nothing like that entered the picture at all. But no less than 10 times, not right now, but when you get home tonight, you might check that in chapter 13. No less than 10 times in chapter 13 do we see what this battle is all about. We see it in chapter 13 and verse 4. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So, Brother Russell, are you going to tell us who the beast is or the dragon? No. Wasn't about who they are. It's about worship. That last final battle will be about who you worship and who I worship. You see, the dragon put all his efforts into becoming the object of worship. All of the times it mentions him in that chapter, he's trying to get everybody on earth to worship him. The efforts of the dragon were violent, unheard of violence from today's standpoint. Started off with war against Michael the archangel and against the male child, and war against the woman, war against the remnant of the seed of the woman. I won't go into all that. I just want you to tell. I want to tell you that he was successfully at first trying to get people to worship him. Verse 3 of chapter 13 said, "All the world wondered after the beast." 13 and 4 said, "And they," the people, "worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for a certain length of time, 42 months. But things changed in chapter 14 and verse 7. There an angel saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God. Listen to me. Give glory to him. Give glory to him.'" What are we going to do with all that God has given us? We're going to give God the glory for it. That's what he's wanting. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Do what to him? Worship him. The struggle's about worship. The cause is worship. Boils down to who are we worshiping. As a result, Revelation 15 and verse 4 said, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord," speaking of Jesus, "and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." I don't know if you get this. I think you do. It's not difficult to understand. But I need to tell you what this is saying. It's saying that Jesus wins. And everybody worshiping him are on the winning side. That means, folks, we're on the winning side. Oh, yeah, we have a little opposition. Not a whole lot compared to some areas of our world. But I want you to understand, we win. And reading the book of Revelation verifies that. We're on God's side. We're worshipers of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, we're in a world that kind of devalues Jesus' name. And want to argue with you about Trinitarian doctrine and oneness and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. There is one God. And when you get to the first chapters of Revelation, you'll find that there is one throne set up in heaven. And there is one that sits upon that throne, and that's Jesus Christ, because the first verse of Revelation calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are serving the living God, and we are worshiping the mighty God, and we're glorifying him and magnifying him and lifting him up. Come on, folks, I am issuing a call tonight for worship of the true and living God. I am saying, give him glory, magnify him, praise him, live for him, believe in him, obey him. He is the one and only God of the universe. I don't care what else happens in the world. I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to live for God. Don't even try to push me out. I'm not leaving. I'm in the right place. And I'm staying. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give him glory. Let's give him worship. Let's magnify him. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I hate to say this, but I think we need a little bit of something else. My mind has been going just about every day to the four lepers seated at the gate of Samaria. I think it's the book of 1 Kings. Can't give you the scripture because I didn't write it down. They were having another famine in the city. Not enough to eat. And the lepers were outside the city because they were ostracized because of their disease. And I think it was the Syrian army camped off in the distance. And they were sitting there. Everybody said they were sitting there. They were sitting there. And it dawned on them that they were dead. Literally, almost. They said, if we sit here, we're going to starve to death with the rest of the city. If we go to the Syrian camp, they're going to kill us. Said, we're hopeless here. But if we can find the courage to get up and go to that camp, there might be an outside chance they'll feed us. And believe me, when they were as hungry as they were, feeding them was the big thing. They didn't want a side of beef. They just wanted a hamburger. They were hungry. And they asked the question, why sit we here? And when we come and gather together in the name of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God, where there is plenty, why do we just sit here? Let's stand together. Take that one home and mull over it. You get it after a while, probably. My final question for you. When will we give God all the glory? And when will we take time to worship Him? I'm issuing a call tonight. I invite everyone in this building to step out from where you are. Come down here and let's worship Him a while. Let's give Him glory. Let's examine our lives and recognize that the nice car we're driving, we didn't buy it. God gave it to us. The nice place we're living, we might be paying rent on it, but actually God gave it to us. Amen. The bed we're sleeping in, God loaned it to us for a few years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the fathers of our Pentecostal movement, I heard him preach years ago. And he said, you know, someday we Americans will wake up and understand that the house we're living in, the cars we're driving are all condemned. Do you ever think about that? We need to give God the glory. And we need to worship Him. Will you come? I challenge you. Come on down. Let's spend some time in praise and worship. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him the credit for what we have. Let's magnify and worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep coming. beautiful. Let's give him some worship. Let's give him some glory. Let's magnify him. Glorify him.
You are
I worship you, Lord.